amazing.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. We're excited to have you. Woo! All right, we have an awesome speaker. He's all ready, so I won't take too much time. Dave Quigley, and he will be discussing Leading with Clarity. And this workshop is sponsored by LAN, L-A-N Associates. All right, without much ado, there you go. Thank you.
All right, let's do it. How's everybody doing? Come on now. How many are just having a great time at the summit, enjoying it? How many feel like there's been so much information that's been dumped on you? You're like going, holy cow, one more? And the answer is no, it's two more. This one and the next one. But my name is David Quigley. I have the privilege of serving as the lead pastor of Asbury Church, as well as being a part of the New York Ministry Presbytery. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about something that every leader needs, but not every leader practices. And that is leading with clarity. Now, a few years ago, my family and I, we went on vacation, and we went to see my family who live up in Canada, and we went to the Rockies. Now, how many of you love mountains? Man, I love the mountains. Not like I appreciate the mountains of New York, but I really like real mountains. And so we went to the mountains in the Rockies, and my dad took us up to a place called Spray Lake. And so this is actually Spray Lake. And it is absolutely beautiful. It is a reservoir that is located over 5,600 feet above sea level. So that means it's a mile above sea level, and its beauty is absolutely amazing and breathtaking. This lake is fed by the runoff from the mountains around it. And when we were up there, there was still snow up on the mountains, and the snow melt would come down and it would keep filling the lake. And so because of it, the water is ice cold, it's pristine, and it's amazingly clear. Now, its clearness was so inviting. Like our family, we went, Dad showing us, and we got out and we went down to the shores. And it wasn't long before we took our shoes off and started wading in along the shore. But the clearness of the lake kept calling, and so we rolled up our pants and went in a little deeper. And it was, let me tell you, it was numbingly cold. It was so beautiful. But the clearness kept beckoning, and it called us deeper still, and it wasn't long until our family was swimming in Spray Lake. Now, here's the idea that hit me in the midst of all of this. Clarity invites people deeper. When people can see clearly, they're willing to go all in. What's true of lakes is also true of leadership. And so I want to take some time talking about leading with clarity. Now, the big idea we're going to kind of think around is simply this, that clear leaders create movement. They create compelling environments that draw people and enable kingdom effectiveness. Now, what is clarity and what does it look like in leadership? Well, Webster's Dictionary defines clarity as the quality of being clear, such as being easily understood, having a full orderly grasp of something, or easily seen or heard. Clarity in leadership means people can easily see, understand, and repeat where we're going and how we're going to get there. And so part of it is to understand that this leadership stuff requires clarity. Now, I'm making an assumption in this room, and I think it's a right assumption that all of us are leaders in some way. So one person said that leadership is influence, and all of us have areas in our life where we demonstrate influence. And I want you to know, clarity is so important, especially as we serve in the kingdom, as we serve in the church. Why does clarity matter so much? Because of a number of things, I'll note two. One is because clarity helps provide alignment. It gives us an ability to move in the same direction. It allows us to partner, and it also allows us to experience or to have accountability. But not only that, it also helps the health of the organization. It reduces frustration and strengthens relationship. Anybody here ever been in an environment where the leadership wasn't clear and you're just like going, oh my goodness, and there's uncertainty? See, the truth is that clarity will build alignment in the areas that we serve as well as reduce anxiety. Marcus Buckingham says this, that clarity is the answer to anxiety. Effective leaders are clear. And so what we have to do is we have to, in our leadership, we have to be intentional about being clear, because when clarity rises, trust rises. When clarity drops, frustrations rise. And here's a truth that I want to make sure that everybody understands, and that is this, that clarity is the leader's responsibility. Like in the areas that you serve, whether it's in a ministry, whether it's serving, you know, your family, whether it's serving in a church, whether you're a pastor, wherever you're leading, understand that clarity is the leader's responsibility. So how do we actually lead with clarity? And so what I think that no matter where we lead, there are three questions every leader must wrestle with. And that if we want to lead with clarity, what we're going to need to do is we're going to need to clarify our aim. Everybody say aim. We need to also clarify our ask. Everybody say ask. I just got to tell you, I put my notes together. I'm like, oh, be super careful on this one. And then the third thing is we also have to have clear actions. Everybody say actions. So I want to walk through each one over our time together. And so the first question that we need to wrestle with is this. Is my aim clear? Now, our aim is our target. It is the thing that we have to be intentional about is defining our target. What is it that we're reaching for, whether it's in our church, as a church, as a ministry, if it's just something that we're speaking at, whatever our calling is, what is our target? And in clarifying the target, what we need to understand is that each clear aim needs four areas addressed. And so every clear aim needs a clear what. And this simply is answering the question, what are we trying to accomplish? So for example, what is the what of the Sunday experience? Maybe it's just something as simple as helping people take one next step with Jesus every week. Whatever it may be, we actually have to be very intentional about defining the what of our leadership. Now, this is what I know about defining something. To define something is to determine its limits. It's to figure out this is the limit for what something is. And what limits do is they actually create focus in our lives. Sometimes our lives get distracted and we're moving in so many different directions and we never get traction because we haven't limited or defined the what. Defining the what will also help you filter the data that comes in. So for many, this what is going to be the vision. And the vision is something that is the picture of what we're trying to accomplish, what we're reaching for. Now, as leaders, I think it's important to understand that leaders see what others cannot see, and it's our job, our responsibility to help them see it. And so part of this whole leadership is being intentional about defining the what. And so in our aim, is our what clear? Not only that, we need to wrestle with or think about who is the aim for. Having a clear aim about who we're trying to serve, where we're trying to lead, who we're trying to influence. It may be reflecting who's the target audience, because the audience and the people we're serving are going to affect how it is that we end up doing things. But not only are we asking who is the aim for, we're also thinking about who do we need to help us advance the what. Because we have to be intentional as leaders about developing teams to help us accomplish the aim. The third thing, if our aim is going to be clear, we need to have a clear what, a clear who, but also a clear why. Where we're expressing why this is important, why does this matter? The why is often the mission, the reason something exists. Now, how many know that everybody here is made with purpose and for purpose? You may have surprised your mom and dad, but you didn't surprise God. Can I get a witness on this one? That did you know that every human being is the expression of a divine idea. Did you know that God was thinking about you before you ever came into being? And in his thinking about you, he thought about you with purpose, for purpose and with purpose. And part of this whole idea is understanding that each of us has a mission that God has for our lives. He has a purpose for our lives. And part of this journey is discovering the purpose that God has created us for. Now, we discover this purpose as we spend time in the presence of our Creator. And part of this is in our lives, we have to work toward clarity about our why. Why do we exist? What is our purpose? What are we made for? I love what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I love this verse. Because you know what it helps? Because I know that many of us were seeking clarity for our lives. And I love it because Jesus makes a connection between purity and clarity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And there's a part for each one of us as we discover and seek, God, what is your why for our lives that we seek and we grow in our walk with God and our relationship with him. And when our why becomes clear, our aim becomes more compelling. So we need to have a clear what, a clear who, a clear why, but also a clear how. How are we going to accomplish this? Now, our how is going to include not just the strategy, the steps from A to B, but it's also going to capture our values. It's not just about how do we get from, you know, from Holmes, New York to Syracuse. It's not just how do we get there, but even as we travel in the car, how many know it matters how we get to Syracuse and not just how we get to Syracuse, right? Because the atmosphere matters. And we have to be intentional about this. And part of leadership is saying, hey, we need to make sure that our aim is clear. Again, whether we're working within churches, within ministries, whether we're serving our families, having a clear aim. Once our aim is clear, then we get ready for the next question, which is this. This, is my ask clear? And this is really about unlocking the power of asking. Now, how many of you love James 4:2 that says this? You have not because you... Okay, so I have this wonderful habit. I love asking for things. I love going up to the drive-through window, and I'm like going, hey, I hear it's 2-for-1 pie day, you know, or something. And it's always fun. My wife always is amazed about all the things that I will walk away with just simply because I ask. How many know that asking begins to unlock things? And part of the things in our leadership is we have to become intentional about our asking. Leadership is about invitation. It was Jesus who said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me. It wasn't about doing it by himself. And we need to understand that as leaders, it's not about doing the what by ourselves. Now, this is what I know. The thing that makes leadership often easier, which is doing it ourselves. Anybody here have moments you're like going, oh, it would just be so much easier if I did it myself. Right? Don't say amen. I know you're thinking it, though. But the thing that makes it easier is the thing that keeps us from being a better leader. And what we have to do is we have to become very intentional about being able to grow our ask. Now, asking involves communicating the aim and inviting others. Whether we do this in large groups or in small settings, it's really about inviting people to be a part of the journey. Now, without a clear aim, you will struggle with a clear ask. And see, we can't communicate what isn't clear. And you can't invite people into something that hasn't been defined. And so one person said this, that great relationships are based on clarity, not mind reading. How many know sometimes we go the mind-reading route in relationships? And how did that work out? not so well. Right? It's actually learning to communicate. And communicating clearly requires us to understand what is communication all about. And communication ultimately comes down to where the goal of communication is understanding. Helping people understand what is important, what's next, what's happening, how they can be involved. And we cannot communicate what's not clear. And so there's importance of doing the work of defining the what, because in doing that, it helps us with this whole aspect of asking others to help. Now, how many know when you have kids, you're growing up, and you have to teach them to use their words well? And we know this because the Bible tells us that life and death is in the power of the what? Tongue. How many know that we, with our words, we can speak life, and with our words, we can speak death? Okay, the way I like to phrase it is this. Is there's no situation so bad that I can't open my mouth and make it worse. How many know that you can say things that make it better, or you can say things that make it worse? And part of what we have to do in our leadership is we have to become very intentional about becoming better communicators using our words, because what we understand is that our words are shaping our world. So when God created all of this, how did it all begin? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the thing that we have to understand is we have been made in his image, and our words begin to shape the environments that we're a part of. And so we have to become very focused and intentional about our communication as leaders. Now, here's a couple things to think about as rules for communication. First, I would say this, keep it simple. Don't try to impress people with words. Impact people with words. Keep it simple. How many of you like polysyllabic words? That's what I thought. You're like polysyllabic, it means many syllables. But have you ever met people that like to use lots of big words and fancy jargon? And clear communication requires simple words. Not only that, use dynamic language. Use language that is active, evocative, visual. It's making sure that our words are communicating clearly, and then lastly, make it repeatable. If they can't repeat it, it just might not be clear. Now, as we go through this, so the first thing we have to do is we have to be intentional about clarifying our aim, but also clarifying our ask. And that's communicating what the aim is and inviting people into the process. And as you do that, I would challenge you to begin to evaluate how well you did. Did you make the connection? Was your communication clear? Did you get the response you hoped for? I know that in this room, many of you, there are times where you are doing ministry and you're like, oh my goodness, I need someone to help me. And maybe you approach someone and maybe it didn't go quite like you thought it did. And so part of it is, instead of saying, well, I guess I have to do all of this alone, the opportunity is, okay, so how is it that I can communicate better? Something to also do is to ask a trusted person, what did you hear me ask for? And if they can't say it, maybe something wasn't clear. And the reason I think this is important is because leadership involves continual improvement of our communication and our invitation. Now, once your aim is clear and your ask is clear, there's one more question. And that is this, are my actions clear? People don't just hear your aim, they watch your actions. I love what John 1:14 says. The word became flesh. And I love it. The whole verse says this, and the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Like, there's something about when Jesus took humanity upon himself that he revealed to the world something about who God is. Jesus didn't just speak a message, he embodied the message. The Word became flesh. And as leaders, we also need to embody the aim. If there's a gap between our aim and our actions, our influence suffers. And if people don't trust you as a leader, they won't follow you, no matter how clear your aim or your ask is. And so we have to be intentional as leaders to make sure that our actions are providing the things that help people be a part of what it is that God has called us to do. And so trust is built through some things, and I just want to note five things real quickly. The first is character. As Pastor Greg mentioned just a moment ago, character is so important, and we need to. Character is manifest when we keep our word, even when it costs us. Like, what is our character like? We also build trust through our competencies. Are we prepared? Are we developing? Are we growing? And I just want to commend you again for being here today. This is an awesome event and an awesome opportunity for all of us to grow our capacities and skills. How many here have learned a thing or two today that you're like, you know what? I think I can do it better. And part of how we, when we're growing, we help other people grow. And so part of it is growing our competencies. Not only that, it's about growing our conviction, about being clear about what we believe. It's about also living a life that demonstrates the care of God. Part of it, I think, as a pastor in ministering, you know, we are here to serve people. We are here to continue the mission that Jesus began to help make the love of God known to people. And I think that we have the opportunity to do it through the care that we demonstrate to people by doing such simple things as knowing names and knowing stories. We also build trust with others through our consistency. We're the same people, whether we're in front of people or we're just on our own. There's a consistency that is needed. And when our actions are clear and when people trust you, they will follow you. So again, come back to this whole thing. Clear actions. We have to begin with what is our aim? What is our ask? And then what are our actions? Are they clear? And so we're called in this acting, having clear actions to embody the message. But not only that, it's learning to empower other people. Empowering means to give other people the things they need to help move forward. I'm so grateful that Jesus, when it came to this whole mission, he didn't just, you know, come up to his disciples and say, okay, go and make disciples of all nations. Good luck. He ended up telling his followers, what I want you to do is I want you to wait until in the city until you receive the gift my Father promised. And as we keep reading, we get to Acts 1:8, it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will receive what? Power. Do you know what Jesus gave his followers to accomplish the purpose? He says, listen, I will give an empowerment. I'm going to help release things in your life so that you can do the work. And I think that as leaders, one of the things that we have to learn to do is to empower other people. Not only giving them giving them direction, giving them an aim, not only asking them into the adventure, but also empowering them with the things that they need in order that they might accomplish the things that we're asking them to move into the aim. Now, leadership is the act of working through other people. Again, it's not doing everything ourselves. Okay, so as we slowly wrap up here, let's go back to Spray Lake, that place that our family went to. The clear waters kept inviting us deeper. until we were all in. And clarity in leadership does the same thing. When people see clearly, they're invited to go deeper and eventually go all in. And so in your leadership journey, I want to challenge you to lead with clarity. Because clarity, clear leaders create movement. They have a way of creating compelling environments that draw people and enable kingdom effectiveness. So I want you to wrestle with some questions. Because I believe part of our growth comes from wrestling. And so what I want to challenge you with this is to think about this question, this first question. Is my aim clear? Like when it comes to the thing that you're leading, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your ministry, whether it's your church, is your aim clear? Is it clear not just to you, but to the people around you? If you ask the people around you, what is our aim, what would they say? Not only that, to wrestle with the question, is my ask clear? Am I getting other people involved in the process? Who are the people that you've brought onto your team? Who is it that you're training and developing? Who is it that you're processing questions with and enlisting their support to advance what it is God's called you to do? Next thing I would ask or have you wrestle with is, are your actions clear? Is there a congruency between your actions and your aim? Do people see you living out and modeling and exampling the mission? As leaders, our lives give permission. And this is why it's so important for us to be clear in our actions that they represent the God who's called us and the God who's leading us. And I challenge you to wrestle with these questions in the presence of the one who has called us, as well as the one who is working to grow us. And so before this day is over, if you're like going, wait, there's just way too much information. Before the week is over, what I want you to do is I want you to choose one aim to clarify. So as you think about your aim, what is it that God's called you to do? What is some part of your aim that you need to clarify? Is it the what? Is it the who? Is it the why, or is it the how? What is an ask that you need to be making? Who are the ones that you need to be bringing into the team to help you as you lead into, as you move forward into the place God's called you? And lastly, what is one action that you need to work on to better align with what it is that God has called you to? Clear leaders create movement. And my prayer is that the people that you lead would go all in as you lead with clarity. Amen? Amen. I want to pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you for your people. Lord, I thank you that you have made them with purpose and for purpose. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you have purposes and plans for them. And God, I'm asking that, Lord, as they continue to grow into that which you've called them to, Father, I pray that you would give them wisdom and insight. Lord, I pray that you would deal with those issues and areas in our life where we need to clarify. And God, I just thank you so much for your grace that helps us. Father, may your name be glorified in everything that we do and say. And we will give you glory for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Can we give a hand to Dave Quigley?